Amen. Perfect song for this message. Thank you, choir, so much. Just wanted to say one thing to Tony Clark, who just turned 50. Cancer-free. We celebrate that today. And probably the biggest achievement is she has hung in there with Pastor Bobby after all these years. So we just want to say congratulations on that. Love you guys. Well, I got to be honest, probably the most notes that I've ever had on a Sunday morning. So feel nervous because we could go a while. This is a really important message on Matthew 25. And I feel a sense of urgency. And probably every pastor who gets up would say that, but I really want you to understand the opportunity that lies before us when it comes to we believe, but also our personal responsibility in every aspect of life that God has given us, when it comes to marriage, our children, our work, or anything else, that we're called to be good stewards. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started in reading Matthew 25, and then we're going to pray. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with 2 bags of gold also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, for you are good and you are a giver. And God, I pray that today our eyes and our lives would be enlightened with your word. I pray, God, that we would understand the responsibility that you have placed on us. And God, you have blessed us in so many ways. We are the richest nation on earth. Not just financially, God, but in so many ways. And I pray, God, that we would use the talents and the gifts and the abilities that you have given for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question today is, are you faithful? We're going to set this up for just a minute. There's a number of dynamics that we'll be speaking about today. And I mentioned earlier, I really sense an urgency. We have a building project. We have to have an understanding of why we are doing this building project. Pastor has been talking for years now about how we are to be an influence in the community, and it is a mandate from God. So this is for every person individually in their duty to Christ, but also should overflow in your approach to the way that you live your life. There are principles here that should affect every aspect of your life: marriage, work ethic, preparation, study, parenting, worship, giving, everything. And this message should also be heard in the context of glad tidings' responsibility to the word and what he has given us. So it is people, it is church, it is missions, it is we believe. the building, it is everything. Can I tell you that this message does not have anything to do with salvation? You are not working for salvation. Salvation is a free gift. That gift was paid for by Jesus Christ. You work from that. You don't work for that. And I need you to hear that. Because what I don't want you to do is step out and go, now I've got to work harder in order to earn something from God. That is not it. The spiritual aspect was won at the cross. Your salvation, your redemption, your restoration, everything was paid by Jesus Christ. But what are we going to do with that? We have a responsibility in our lives to live fully for Him. I give my life to you. We need to be faithful. So some of these things are practical. Some of these things I have lived or I have discovered as I have pursued Christ, and other things are revelation in the text. So let's set it up. Master goes to another country. He stays a long time and then returns. The master allocates his resources to servants, expecting them to make a profit in his absence, to do something with what has been given. The first two servants are faithful. They are praised by their master and are given greater authority and reward. The third servant hides what was entrusted to him. The third servant seeks to excuse himself by accusing his master of being harsh. The third servant claims that he was afraid of his master. The third servant does not make a profit for his master. The third servant blames his actions on the master. The first two servants are commended and rewarded. The third is condemned, and what he had was taken away. And what was taken from the third, the unfaithful servant, is taken away and given to the faithful servant who gained the most for his master. Now, some say that it was the equivalent, each talent, money, was equivalent of about 20 years of wages. So what was provided to them was substantial. It was large. And so the talents were distributed on the basis of ability, but it wasn't the bestowing of ability. How many have ever read this and said, wow, that five, he had five talents. That's not what that means. He had the ability to handle the finances given him. So in this text, everybody, the five, the two, and the one, had ability to do what God had called them to do. Okay? So, let's talk about number one. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to handle the blessing or whatever God has given us. God is not looking for giftedness, but faithfulness. He does not reward giftedness. He rewards faithfulness. He is not wowed by gifts because he gives gifts. He is impressed by faithfulness and stewardship. Everything we have is given to us by God, and we are called to be good stewards. Our abilities, our family, our calling, our job, our house, our money, our finances, everything is stewardship. He has entrusted all of these things to you. Think about that for a moment. Are you being faithful in every area of your life? Now, we are driven in America by finances. So we will work hard, but it doesn't mean that we're raising our family correctly, that we're loving our wives or our husbands correctly. It doesn't mean that we're being faithful in our pursuit of Jesus Christ. And this is what this is talking about. The things that he has given you, are you being faithful with it? Talent in this parable is talking about your ability to handle what has been entrusted to you. So I call these five, two, and one ability people. Not talents, but ability people. How many follow college football here? A couple. Y'all are lying. You know you're lying. How many know that in football, there are stars for recruits? So a one-star recruit is probably not going to be recruited very highly. A five-star recruit, everybody in the nation wants that five-star guy. And so this is kind of what this is. Five stars, five abilities, two abilities, and one ability. Okay? Let's talk about the five ability tendencies or characteristics. Five ability people, when they hear the word of the Lord, they act immediately. They are good and faithful. The original text is quite clear. It is the first servant, and we assume the second as well, who immediately sets to work with his master's money. It is not the money that goes to work But it was the worker who went to work. It was immediate. How many, if you're being honest, you don't always respond quickly to what God is telling you? I usually wait till the last minute to do this message. I don't know why. And so on my 2 days off, I put in about 20 hours of preparation, kind of dragging it out. But this is immediate response. I went to Bible school, and this story just popped into my head this week. And I had played baseball for a while, and you know, when you retire from baseball, you still want to be active and competitive, and so you go into softball. That's a normal transition. And it was so amazing because you would take, you know, in baseball, the ball is heavier and it's smaller. Well, then you get a softball, it's bigger and it's lighter. And man, you could sling that ball. It was amazing. You're used to throwing in baseball 270 feet to the plate from the outfield. Well, in softball, everything is shorter. And man, it was unbelievable. You could just unleash this ball. And I was moved to shortstop. So man, it was like heaven. I'm serious. You had a cannon. And so I went to Bible school, and we would play intramural sports. And so that meant that you had girls and guys on a team, and we would have professors that would play with us sometimes. And we were playing one game, and we have one of our professors at first base. And so you kind of take into account a couple of things. He wasn't able to catch well at first base. This is not a good plan, but this is what unfolded. And so I remember, you know, in just warm-ups, you just take it and just kind of ease it. Just, you know, you put enough on it to get over there and beat the runner, but you didn't want to, you know, throw it really hard. Well, game time rolls around. There's a ball that's hit to me, and it pops out of my glove, and instinct kicked in, and I just picked it and said, yeah, hard as I could. Well, it hit him, and he kind of went like this and started walking. So we just kind of went over and looked, and we looked down, and his bone is sticking out of his thumb. And I was like, yeah, you're probably going to need to do something about that. So somebody walked him to his dorm, and we went back to playing softball. That's what you do. You finish. This immediate reaction, just instinct, takes over. And this is what this is talking about. When the Lord says something to you, immediately you respond. It's what's inside that comes out. Five ability people have a passion for what they do, as well as a gifting or a skill that they use in order to achieve a desired outcome. They have a passion for what they do, and then they have a skill set that they have developed over time to maximize what return they want to get. Five ability people have honed their gift, ability, and skill in order to maximize what they give back to God. There is a fallacy in the church that says God will bless whatever you do, that He'll bless my half effort. It's God that does everything. Can I tell you, when it comes to the supernatural, that is true. But God blesses my preparation. God blesses my study. God blesses my hard work. And so you don't want a pastor to step up here who is not prepared and prayed and studied. You don't want a surgeon to go, oh yeah, I'm just going to do half effort today, coming in drinking the night before. You don't want that. But then we offer to God that. Five ability people are intrinsically motivated. It comes from the inside. This needs to be done, and it needs to be done well, because it's the right thing to do. It's not the stage that motivates them. It's not the applause of men that motivates them. It's not the name and lights that motivates them. It's not the get rich quick that motivates them. They will experience failure in their pursuit, but they are long-term faithful. It's like this. In the stock market, there are daily fluctuations and even yearly fluctuations. But if you go back, you'll see long-term trends. So over 40 years, you know, it's this trend. That's the way our lives should be. We have daily fluctuations. There are days we do well, there are weeks we do well, and there are times when we don't. But the trend is toward Him. Sometimes the greatest gift you have is the willingness to do whatever is needed. Everybody wants to offer what they want to give. But sometimes God wants what He needs done. Does that make sense? So there are a lot of people who want the stage. But what if we don't need anybody on the stage? What if we need somebody who worked with the kids? I didn't want the stage. Still don't want the stage. Many times it is faithfulness in obedience that reveals your giftedness. Many times it is faithfulness in obedience that reveals your giftedness. There are some things inside of you that will not be revealed unless you are being faithful and you're serving. Let me give you an example. For a long time, I hated preaching. I didn't want to be in ministry. And I didn't know how to do anything well. The only thing that I could do was help people. That was it. That was the only thing. But over the course of time, God has added and it allowed me to grow. But it was the fact that I just wanted to help people that helped me do more in ministry. You got to start where you are, right? And I love the fact in this parable that it says He didn't start out with 5 talents. It didn't say that this is where He started or this is where He started. He was 5 talents and He was that 5 ability guy. I get the sense that hard work, dedication, over time there was a development of the skill set that He had. That He gave them according to their ability, according to what they were able to handle and develop. I love this because that means that God increases what you are faithful with. A lot of times we just sit and we talk and we go, we're just glad we didn't quit when it was hard. God can give you more. I'm really embarrassed at times as I look back in my ministry years and I go, God, you were so stupid right there. And you were a moron right there. And you said these things right here. And you hurt that person right there. We're all in process. And so we take these things and we grow from them. But there is a clear contrast between faithful and not so faithful. 5 ability people are able to be trusted with something that is not theirs, regardless of the size of the task. Because a lot of times we go, oh, it's just this little thing. I just kind of give it half effort. If it's important to the leader, it should be important to us. If it's important to God, it should be important to us. With my leaders in youth ministry, I have this thing. I want them to respond to our email every Tuesday. And they're, you know, I'm sure they're thinking, this is so stupid. Why do I need to respond? Because I'm testing them to see who I can trust to respond just to what I need them to do. If you can't respond to an email every day, do you really think you can be a leader? It's a test. See, everybody here is called. Romans 11:29 says the gift and calling of God are irrevocable. God's not going to take the gift or the calling back. Everybody here is called. Amen. Here's another thing that I need you to understand about this parable. After a long time, the master returns. Young people, hear me. One of the ways God separates faithful from unfaithful is time. Everybody is a good starter. How many unfinished books are in your library? Be careful of the one who can't be faithful for any amount of time. And let me tell you something. It is in this very call, using the very thing that brings you passion and joy and zeal. It's the very thing that God will allow trouble to come in and testing to come in. These are the things that God uses to sanctify you. You got married and you are all happy because you married the perfect spouse and all of a sudden they've got issues and now you want out. God is sanctifying you. You're in leadership. You started a business. We're going to make a bunch of money and we're going to make a big difference. And now there's trouble. God is sanctifying you. Every assignment given by God for us is his primary means that he brings sanctification to make you more like Jesus. Let me tell you some of the things that will happen during the long time. There'll be fun. There'll be enjoyment. You'll get tired. There'll be disillusionment. You'll be frustrated. There'll be sickness. There'll be betrayal, breakthrough, joy, anger, disappointment. There will be times you are going to want to sacrifice everything and lay down your life for the call. And there will be days when you'll want to quit. It is here that the reality and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has to be your focus. This life is not about us. It is about him. And if you lose sight of that and you make it about you, you're going to be miserable. Last year, met with Pastor in January and said, Pastor, I feel like God is transitioning us. And immediately in my mind, I'm going, that's got to be toward home. My parents are getting older. There's a real possibility I may not see them anymore. My sisters and my nieces and my nephews are getting older. We visit maybe once every 2 years. In my mind, it is, we're going back to the South to be closer. Pastor Raphael has a dream. In the dream, he said, man, this is right after our conversation. And pastor's like, hey, we just got to explore this and pray and see what God does. And Pastor Raphael's like, man, I had this dream. This has always been the way that God has led us and revealed. And he said, I had this dream. He said, it was weird. You weren't in your office anymore, but you were still in the building. How many knows that my office has moved from there to there? It was transition, but it's obedience to the call. It's not based on what I want. And see, God owes me nothing. He owes me nothing. I owe him everything. And he is a good father. After a long time, you look at David, you look at Joseph, you look at Abraham, you look at Sarah, you look at barren women, Hannah and Rachel, you look at the disciples and John the Baptist, the Hebrews 11, and all the people who had to go through time and struggle and disappointment and frustration. What about your marriage? You're being faithful with your children, your community, your pastors, your coworker, your dream. You wake up in the Christian walk and, man, am I being faithful? My responsibility is to tell you what Scripture says and to position you to experience through relationship his presence. 5 ability people are developed through faithfulness. I have a responsibility to do the best I can with what I have, where I am. Quit trying to get over there and focus on here. According to this parable, are you being faithful? Are you being faithful with what God has given you? Number 2, rebellion. Much of the parable is discussing, is talking about the one ability man. It says in verse 18, but the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Could this be the reason he only had one talent to begin with? We all know people who are better. They're smarter, they're faster, they're better looking, they're taller, they're more gifted, and yet they never seem to go anywhere. The gifting's not at fault. It's what's inside that person. You look at this guy, and there's immediate disobedience. He quit. He had no intention of doing what the master asked. John Burroughs said, the smallest deed is better than the greatest intention. How many of you keep saying, yeah, I'm going to do, but you never do? This parable is talking about separating those who do and those who don't. Everything we have is given to us by God, and we are called to be good stewards. Again, abilities, family, calling, job, house, stuff, kids, money, everything. Are you using what God has given you, or have you buried it? Are you being lazy? Let's be honest. We love you, Pastor. Amen. One ability people. Let's talk about patterns and tendencies here. And we all can have these areas. Quite frankly, most of this list was probably what I'm speaking from in my life. One ability people. They blame others for what they will not do. Call them the four S's. Slander. They talk about people. They're slackers. They're lazy. They're sloppy. They won't give their best. And four, they're skippers. Man, if you can't consistently come to church, if you can't consistently give, if you can't consistently go to your job, if you can't consistently anything, you're probably going to stay right here. One talent people are externally motivated. If the conditions are right, I'll do it. If I know that I'm going to get a promotion, I'll do it. If I know that I'm going to get a lot of applause, I'll do it. If it's in the best interest of me, I'll do it. One ability people have a lack of honor and lack of work ethic. It said they were lazy and wicked. One ability people know what they are to do, but they will not do it. One ability people blame others and do not take responsibility. When it came time to give account, he blamed the master. The mouth and the life of the wicked servant is the picture of his heart. Show me the pattern of your words and actions, and it will show me the content of your heart. I love Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. If I look at your life, it'll tell me what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All of the issues of life flow out of the heart. He was supposed to be about his master's business. What did Jesus say? I'm about my Father's business. It says in Luke 16:10, it says, unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. A one ability person will always justify their decisions at the expense of someone else. Can I tell you that if you're having problems at your job and you're having problems in your family, if you're having problems at your church, the problem is not all three of those things. The problem is you. Servants do every task with equal dedication. Whatever they do it, according to Colossians 3:23, with all of their heart. The size of the task is irrelevant. The only issue is, does it need to be done? Ephesians 2:8-10, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Your salvation is a gift of God. It is not of works. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough. It has been paid for by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That should is powerful. Because that is what we're supposed to do, but that does not mean we will do it. That's why it says should and not will. And the question that I will keep bringing to you is, are you giving everything? And that's process, a long time learning to do that. See, there will always be people, this is Rick Warren, there will always be people more willing to do great things for God than there are people willing to do the little things. The race to be a leader is crowded, but the field is open for those willing to be servants. Sometimes you serve upward to those in authority, and sometimes you serve downward to those in need. Either way, you develop a servant's heart when you're willing to do anything needed. A one-ability person will not think this way. The issue is not always the skill set, but sometimes it's the attitude. Some people are more gifted than anything I've ever seen, but their attitude really undermines their giftedness. The description of the servant's attitude suggests something qualitatively different from the other two servants found faithful. There is a definite contrast going on here. The works are indicative of a relationship with the master or lack thereof. The third servant had no works, which in the Gospels is the same as having no faith. You wicked, lazy servant, are you withholding anything in your life? Colin Powell says, if you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is the prevailing attitude. Servants do every task with equal dedication. He had the attitude of a victim. So you can't play both the victim and the victor in this life. You can't look for somebody in this world to save you and then live as a victor. I want my kids and my gravity kids to live in personal responsibility, stewardship, hard work, dedication, commitment, conviction, passion, stick-to-itiveness, work, honor, faithfulness to the King. There are people who are stuck in one ability in this life because of pain, dysfunction, sin and sin patterns, and hurt. And I understand that. I came from that. One ability people sometimes can be ignorant of what needs to be done. Some are ignorant because you don't know Scripture. Some don't know God. Some don't know the principles in the Bible. Some don't are not part of a small group, don't have a mentor. This is where I came from. Can I tell you, I don't look back for my spiritual principles in my family line. Do you know how much that grieves me? And I've made a promise that I will be the guy for the Carter family. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that my son and my daughter are established spiritually. That they watch a man's transformation go from a one talent, hopeless guy to somebody that other people will emulate. I remind myself often, you have no rights. You have responsibilities. You will not quit. You will not cave. You will not give up. You will always get back up. You will encourage. You will serve, even if it is not in your best interest. You will fight. You will dream, and you'll help other people dream as well. You will live a life that others want to emulate. You will offer your life as an offering to Jesus Christ every day for the rest of your life. And your life is not your own, and you have been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit can change you. I pray often, Holy Spirit, I want your grace in the deepest, darkest recesses of who I am because I want to be like you. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen without effort. So many times we think serving is about making our future. But serving is a reflection of who we are that positions us in God. What will you do with what has been given you? Because everything is stewardship. This is it. Last point, reward. I love this. Your effort is not in vain. God is not a horrible taskmaster. He loves to bless. He loves to give. He loves to reward in this life and the life to come. Your faithfulness in the present is always attached to a return in the future. What you're doing now matters for the future. What you're doing now matters in a return that you're going to get on a harvest that you're sowing right now. Do you understand that? So if you're sowing bad seed, bad crops coming. Good seed, good crops coming. Faithfulness is rewarded. And God rewards faithfulness over giftedness. Now, I know in our culture we define success by dollars or popularity or notoriety or fame or how many Facebook friends or Twitter followers we have, right? But faithfulness with responsibility results in greater authority in the kingdom. I want to be somebody that God can entrust more to. The greatest tragedy, and if you don't hear anything else, the greatest tragedy in this is what that one ability person lost Remember, I told you, he didn't take away his gift set. He didn't take away his ability. He took away his opportunity. When you're not faithful, you're losing the opportunities that God wants to provide for you to be established and promotion in his kingdom. That's why the little obedience matters. It's where the little faithfulness matters. And I've heard it preached that nobody else, if you don't do it in the kingdom, it'll never get done. That's a lie. You look at this parable. What you're not willing to do, somebody else will do it. There's somebody more talented, better preacher, more gifted, more faithful, more anointed than me. Reinhard Bonnke, he's the apostle to Africa, seen millions and millions and millions of people saved. Said he was having a conversation with God, and God let him know, you weren't my first choice. You weren't my fifth choice. You weren't my tenth choice. You were my 13th choice. Because he laid out, this is what you're going to go through. This is what you're going to do. And 12 others didn't take the opportunity. God doesn't need us, but he loves partnering with us. He loves your gifting. He loves your experience. He loves the uniqueness of you. There will never, ever be anybody who does it the way that you do it. It's a reflection of the creativity of our God. He wants to partner with you in whatever it is, because it'll have your fingerprints on it, your unique DNA on it. But don't be mistaken. If you don't, others will. And if you don't, I will. I will give my life in order to see God glorified. This is what this is about. This life on this earth is about glorifying Him. Do you understand why we're doing We Believe? Because we get kind of lost in the dollars and time. This is about people. This is about building people. I am frustrated because I see need everywhere in here right now. And I go, we can't do the classes. We don't have time. We don't have space. I'm frustrated. I want to build people. It is why God put me on the earth. It says, enter into the joy. The master says, enter into the joy. There is a joy in doing God's work. I'm not saying it's not hard. It's hard. I'm not saying you're not going to have days, but there's a joy that comes in partnering with God and doing what He's called you to do. It says, you will have an abundance. You know what that word means? I love this. It means super abundance, have an excess, great surpass, to excel, not just more than enough. You'll have more responsibility, more opportunity, more work in the kingdom. When you do something well, you get more work. For those that are wanting to retire, when you retire, we got work for you. We desire to see more people saved, but from a discipleship standpoint, I want people built. I know what it's like to come out of a bunch of junk. I know what it's like to go, I'll never amount to anything. I'll never get over this. I'll never be free of this addiction. I'll never be free of this mindset. I'll never be free. I'll never be able to pray for my family this way or lead. That's a lie. This song this morning was birthed out of a church's transition and frustration and hurt. It's about calling from Ephesians 5. Wake up to the calling that God has for you. You can sleepwalk your entire life away. I'm calling you to respond. I'm calling you to take your responsibility, men. If you don't know what to do, get with a godly man and let him help you. Lead your families. Come on, respond to the call of God on your life. Give your best. Offer the King your best. Father, I thank you for the men and women in this room. I thank you, God, that this is a tough message, but it is true. I pray, God, for those that are frustrated or those that they want more than anything to grow in you. You're committed to them, and they will. For those, God, who have spent their life on stuff and they haven't focused on you, I pray that this is their wake-up call. I pray, God, that everybody here would offer their best to you, whether it be big or small. They'd offer their hearts and their lives to you. In Jesus' name.